Okay, so let's start again. A little technical problems. Let's see if I could pull them in online right now and see if they're there. Yeah, the phone is away from me. I'm going to bring the phone closer in a second. Okay, let's see how the audio is now. Okay, it should be good now. All right, I think we're good to go. I see Laura and Naomi are online with us there. And okay, so we're going to deviate today, although not such a big deviation. Now, the sound is good, both online and on the phone?
No, it's very low on the phone.
Very low on the phone. Okay, this is as close as I think I can get it to the mic. Doug, how's the sound for you?
It's okay for us.
Yeah.
Doug, can you hear?
I'd say it's picking a little lower, but I can hear just fine.
Okay.
All right. Again, the volume, I got it as high as I can on the phone. Hopefully this will,
okay.
This will be good. All right, so how's the new place, Doug? Cal?
Well, we're surrounded by boxes, but we're just about out of the old place, so the new one's quite nice. We're real happy with it. It's just the process is challenging.
Yeah, but it comes to an end very quickly, you'll see.
We certainly hope so.
Scientists are still trying to explore the causes of why when people move, they're suddenly surrounded by brown colored boxes.
Yeah, is that somehow like red trucks cause fires?
They are found at the same location. I am very suspicious of those red trucks.
They are, must be cause and effect there.
Touché. All right, so let's just deviate a little bit. Because Kohelis, when we'll resume again next week on the beginning of chapter 4, he talks about the evil of men is in terms of jealousy of each other. So, looking through Genesis, and each year you have an obligation to read through the text twice and to read the commentary, Unculus, once. So this way it ensures that a person is fluent, the years go by, is fluent with, the five books of Moses. So, looking through Genesis, I stopped at one story that I just didn't stop at before, because so many times, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, they just really attract your attention. And it sort of obscures other events, but everything in Genesis, of course, is essential, it's vital, that's why it's there. So, let's see. Let me see in line if they have. They still don't have audio. I wonder what that is. Seems to be working. I'm not sure whether they're picking it up. Hopefully it'll pick in. All right, so the story we're going to take up is starting with Genesis 4. And this is after Cain was cursed. Cain was cursed, so it's 4:17. I'll give you a second to take it out. Okay, looks like the audio is working now for them. All right, so the story goes that Cain took a wife, and he had an offspring. He had a son, Chanoch. And he built a city by the name of his son. And Chanoch had the son Irad. Irad had Mechuyael. And Mechuyael had a son called Mesushael. And Mesushael had a son called Lemech. So it goes through a couple of generations, like five generations, then it stops at Lemech. And it says in Genesis 4:19 that Lemech took two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second wife was Tzila. And it is interesting that I'm not sure if the names that the Torah gives over here are actually the real names or references because of certain significance. And it seems to be it's the second, meaning the real name was not Tzila. Tzila is from the word sail, the word shade. And the commentaries want to say that in those days, what man would do, he would take one wife for procreation purposes and the other wife for just sexual activity. And that could have been the precursor to why they got so involved in lewdness and sexuality and eventually in stealing, where they didn't even respect property anymore. And that was the reason why God had wiped them out, Rashi says. Because it eventuated in a state of irreparable improvement. So there was no respect for anybody's property, so therefore the flood was necessary. There was no respect anymore. There's no society. There's no fabric in which God could have corrected anything. As Rabbi Shade explained, the reason why God was able to salvage the generation of the dispersion was because at least there was peace among them. So there was a fabric in society that God could work with in order to improve the situation. Okay, so what happened was that, now going back to Lemech, this great-great-great-great-grandson of Adam the first, so he had these two wives, and it says in Genesis 4:20, so Ada, the first wife, was, she had a child, his name was Yovel, and he became the father of all those who were involved in shepherding, in raising cattle. Dwelling in tents, tents meaning that he knew how to graze in one area, pitch a tent there, and when the pasture was consumed by the flock, by the herds, so then he would move and pitch a tent far away where there was new grazing area. So he became a leader and father in that. The name of the second son was Yuval. He was the father of all those who created musical instruments. And Tzila, the second wife, she also had a child. His name was Tuval Kayan. And again, Tuval Kayan is based on the name Kayan, Cain. So the Rashi mentions why is his name Tuval. Tuval is from the word spice, to give accent to something. A spice is something which gives accent to the primary dish. So Tuval Kayan, Rashi wants to say, was the fact that he spiced up and he accentuated the trait of his father. And that meaning, you know, his great-great-great-great-grandfather, Cain, who was involved in murder. So Tuval Cain, his greatness was that he was a leader in forging metals, in copper and bronze, and they say swords, weapons of war. All right? Let me just check again that the sound is okay.
Fine here.
Okay, good. All right, so you see that the name...
Hey, good, Rabbi, thank you.
Okay, good. So you see the name that is given is not necessarily the person's real name. The Torah is trying to tell you something about the personality when it tells us the name. All right? So it's interesting. It goes through all the generations. From, you know, Cain down a couple of five generations, and then it stops and elaborates on this personality, Lemech. And he has these three sons, and all three are leaders in three different areas. And it talks about how the next verse in 23, 4:23, evidently there was a little conflict between Lamech and his wives, and it just doesn't tell us the whole picture, but it just gives us enough information to try to unravel it. So it says that Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Tetzila, listen to my voice, wives of Lamech, and give ear to my words. For a man I had killed with the wounds, and a child with chabur also, like a wound. So it ends up that the story was that Lamech had killed Cain. And the Rashi gives a story that Lamech was really blind. He was in the woods with Tubal-Cain, his third son. And Tubal-Cain was telling his father, all right, draw back on the bow now and shoot. There's an animal over there. So he shot. And then they found that it really wasn't an animal. It was really Cain. And Lamech was so disturbed that he killed his great-great-great-great-grandfather. Because, of course, they lived to 900,000 years back then. So he was so disturbed, he clapped his hands and like, in fright, and he hit his son and killed him too. So his wives were now very bothered by the fact, because they were afraid of whatever punishment would come to him. So he was pleading with his wives and giving an argument that, I did this by accident, this wasn't purposeful, it wasn't like, kind, and if Cain was spared for seven generations, certainly I will be spared for 77. So that was his argument. But it shows you, it's trying to tell you over here something. I mean, it's giving a record that there was a certain amount of carelessness. I mean, any type of killing, if your person's 100% careful, he's not going to kill somebody. He's not going to commit any crime if he's 100% careful in his actions. And then all of a sudden the story shifts, and it goes back to Adam. And Adam was still alive. And it says in 25 that Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and she called his name called his name Chase, because for Chase means God has replaced for me my seed in the place of Hevel, of Abel, because Abel was killed by Cain. So according to Rashi, Adam is separated from his wife for 130 years until this point. So why all of a sudden does the Torah say that he resumed relations with his wife? So Rashi explained, I'm not sure it was Rashi or one of the commentaries explained that when Lamech was pleading with his wives, so he brought his wives before Adam, and that he should judge a case between the two of them. So it is Rashi. Rashi says on this verse, so Lamech came to Adam, and he brought his wives with him. And Adam said to them, is it upon you to be analytical on God's decrees, meaning whether you should have children or not? So Adam said to the wives, no, you go ahead and do what is commanded upon you, because you're commanded in having children, and God will do his part. Meaning they were concerned whether that would there be a punishment to the husband and so on. Whatever the concern was, they said, listen, that's God's area, whatever the punishment he's going to mete out, but that does not remove your obligation to have children. So they said back to Adam, well, if you're telling us to have children, why don't you act this way first? Because evidently Adam was now separated from his wife for these 130 years. So they said, you set the stage proper first. Have you not separated from your wife these 130 years? From when the punishment of death came to the world through your hands? So Adam heard their argument, and immediately he went back to Eve. And that's why it says over here, and inserts it right here. Because it's following on a story that we have to fit into the verses. But then it says that he did have a child, and they called his name Chase, and Chase had a child in 26, and he called his name Enosh. And the verse ends, and it says, then it began to be where man would call out to God. He would pray to God, or Sforno says that man would start going out and speaking against idolatry, which had already started. Okay, so it's interesting. And then the next verse, which is the beginning of chapter 5, says, this is now the book of the generations of man, on the day that God created man, in his form, in the form of God. Of course, the form of God means with intelligence. Interesting, it doesn't say this when it talks about Lamech's offspring. Right? If you go back to 4:19, or even before that, 4:18, where it gives the whole lineage from Cain and Hanoch, and all the way down, it doesn't give this introduction. These is now generations of man. On the day that God created man in the form of God, it stresses it over here. And if you look at the lineage here, which lineage is it talking about in chapter 5? So 5:2 goes on, says, male and female, did God create them, and God blessed them, and he called their name Adam, on the day that he created them. And Adam was 130 years, and he had given birth to, in his form, in his image. Again, stressing the concept of the intelligence that he created. He had children in his image. And he called his name Chase. So why doesn't it say this when it talks about Cain? And you look over here, this is now only the lineage from one of his sons, Chase. And it gives the whole lineage down. And it goes all the way down, and ends up there's another Lamech, which is not the same Lamech, because this Lamech now comes from the Adam's son, Chase. It doesn't come from Adam's son, Cain. But they duplicated names, it seems to be. Nonetheless, ended up that this line from Chase produced Noah. Okay, and it says in 28, in 5:28, that Lamech, this is now a different Lamech, had, so he was 82 years old, and he gave birth to a son, and he called his name Noah. And he said, this one will now give us respite from the work of our hands, and from the toil, from the land that God has cursed. Evidently, the curse of the land that God put in place earlier was for all mankind. Everybody was negatively affected. And some want to say that Lamech here, this Lamech, was a prophet, because somehow even when his son was born, he already knew that this son that he called Noah is going to be, somebody's going to give a respite from the land that's being cursed, and he'll help the world out. So that's what Noah. Noah means like a menucha, a respite, a peace of mind. All right. So let's go back and let's try to understand something. Let's just look at the pieces of the puzzle together here. If we go back to 4:19. So what strikes you as interesting in terms of these three sons all being leaders?
Rabbi, isn't this the first time that the Torah says, okay, this is the first one who did this, this is the first one who did that? In other words, it gets into their sort of specialties, occupations, how they, that their specialty in interacting with the physical world.
Okay. What significance is this to me?
I guess because it would tell us something about their personalities.
All right. You had five generations that were just mentioned by name with no pause like you have over here, no elaboration whatsoever. Right, the previous verse, 4:18. So what is significant here? What's so vital that I know about this? And what exactly were these specialties? They were cattle, raising cattle, and musical instruments, and forging metal instruments. And then it goes and tells me about the fact that Lamech had killed two people, and that his son was called Tuvel Cain, one who accentuated the work of Cain, which was murder. That's why the one who forged metal instruments, meaning things that he used to kill. So the Torah is trying to tell you that he was going in the ways. Rashi says that in 4:22, that he accentuated the trade of Cain. And the word Tuval is from the language of spicing up, to accentuate. He spiced up and he completed, he fixed up the trade of Cain to create weapons of war to kill.
So is this the first time that man began to specialize as opposed to everybody doing, you know, being a generalist?
It could be. Another thing which is interesting too is that all three of these came from the same father. You'd think that people who are leaders, they, you know, scattered about amongst families. Why is it? I mean, it struck me as interesting that from the same father, three sons become leaders in different areas. And, you know, it's telling you this. The Torah is going out to tell you that he was a leader. He was a father in terms of raising cattle. And this one was a leader in terms of musical instruments. And this one was a leader in terms of forging iron.
So, is that perhaps intended to tell us something about Lamech?
Yes.
And his philosophy or the way he raised his sons.
Right.
And it also, if based on what you said before, that people would normally take two wives, one for procreation, one for sexual enjoyment purposes, yet this very specifically points out that both wives bore children.
Right. The commentaries say that they used to give a drink to one of their wives that would make them barren, but it didn't work in this case. Both of his wives became pregnant.
So we're not supposed to get from that that he perhaps didn't follow down that road. It's just they bore the children accidentally.
Right. And the Ramban goes into this and he talks, and he says that... Let's see here. He says that his father was, the Lamech was a very wise man in all works, all skillful works. And he taught his children, the first one he taught the matter of raising cattle. And he taught the second one the wisdom of music. And he taught the third one to make swords and spears, right, and weaponry. And his wives were afraid that they shouldn't get punished because they brought the sword into the world with murder. And he now seized on to the work of his forefather, Cain. Because Cain was the first murderer. And they created destruction and to destroy. And he said to his wives, I didn't kill somebody in terms of wounding him or the child that I killed, my own son. I didn't kill in terms of that, in terms of, you know, hitting him numerous times. And God will not punish me, but he'll protect me from death more than Cain. So that was his argument. But nonetheless, the Torah is going out of the way to say that, you know, a person kills twice, there seems to be some negligence, and then I think that's what it's telling you over here. It's giving you that information, but I think even more so, there's something which stands out. And remember, I said in the beginning of chapter 5, when it starts talking about not Adam's son Cain and his whole offspring, which ended up having to have Lamech and these three sons, but chapter 5 completely talks about Chase. and his offspring, and doesn't mention a word about Cain. Because it ends up that one thing is for sure is that Cain, his whole lineage was destroyed by the flood. And the lineage of Seth, of Chase, was carried on through his great-grandchild, Noah. But it's also telling you that this whole line that came down from Chase was what the Torah refers to as being the book of the generations of man that were formed in God's image, the Demus Elohim, in the image of God. So it seems to me clear that it's trying to make a distinction between the two lines of lineage from Adam. One line was Cain, and that produced Lamech and his three sons, and he managed to go into these areas. What are these areas? So Mikne is wealth, and the musical instruments is pleasure, and the sword making, so that's like the social areas. You see, he was involved in wanting to have a certain domination in all the areas of human pursuit. Right? So it's wealth, that's cattle, and pleasure. If you think about it, what are the pursuits of man? Man wants to have, he wants to have wealth, he wants to have pleasure, and he wants to have power. And that's exactly what these three sons were raised in. So you see that Lamech was going down a path that doesn't seem to be so righteous. And the fact is, he also killed two people. And even his son was raised in a way that was to teach him the art of war, the art of murder. You see the commentaries underline that. But what's interesting is that who do they all come from? They all come from, as Ramban says, they all came from the first murderer, Cain. Conversely, that was all from Cain. That was one son of Adam. Adam then has another son, Chase. And what is Chase? What's the lineage of Chase? Take a look. It says in 4:25 that Adam knew his wife again, and she gave birth to a son, and they called his name Chase, because God had replaced me another seed in place of Hevel. Right? And even Hevel, the word Hevel means futility, meaning his existence was futile, it was cut short. And what's Cain? The word Cain in Hebrew means jealousy, like Kohelis mentions. Kino, Cain. So the names seem to be so appropriate, it doesn't seem to be that those are the actual names of the, maybe they were named later. Maybe the Torah just tells us the beginning of the lives, what the names are. But it appears to be that the name befits their personality in Genesis. Okay. Even Adam's name and then Eve's name, Chava. But she was the mother of all life. That's why he called her Chava. From the word life. But you see that what is Adam names his son, Chase, because now he's like a replacement. He was like in place of his son that he lost. And Chase, he had a son and they called him Enosh. Enosh means man. But look what it says about Enosh in 4:26. Then people now start beginning to call in the name of God. Either means that they started to pray to God or they started to speak out against idolatry. Alright, that's a... Ibn Ezra is the one that talks about that people start to pray, and Sforno says that they start to speak out against idolatry. And now look who comes from them. Who comes from them is their great-grandson is a different person named Lamech, who was a prophet, and they had Noah, who was a great person. So if I'm not mistaken, and it seems to be that it seems to be borne out from that there's two lines that coming out of Adam, one was good and one was not good. And it seems to be that there is, it's trying to show you one rule that there seems to be an effect based on who you're coming from. People of free will, of course, but it's clear that when they're talking about that the first Lamech who came from Cain and he raised his children to be involved in wealth and in music and pleasure, and in the making weaponry. And he even names, or the son is even trained in the way to be involved in creating swords and spears, things of destruction. And the father himself kills two people. Whether you want to say accident, I mean, it's not completely, you know, he's not completely without guilt. But this is all coming down from Cain. And it would seem to be that when they say that he held on to the way of his grandfather, it sounds like there's an identity going on in terms of these generations. Whereas Chase, who had Enosh, and you see how the name that Adam gives to his son Chase is that it's in relationship to God. Right? That God has now given me another son in place of Hevel, who was killed by Cain. So he's talking about God. I mean, he's thankful. There's a relationship he has with God. So maybe that carries over, and that's why Enosh, in his generation, people started calling out in God's name. So it was following a good path. But according to Maimonides, Enosh was not good. He was actually one of the original idolaters. So you have a different explanation over there. Actually, the commentaries say that Rashi says, what does it mean that Uz Huchal, then they began people to call out in God's name? So he changes the word. Huchal also could mean not began, but could also mean like mundane or profane. Then it became profane, that people started calling themselves and even the plantation, they would give names like God's name. And they would make things into gods, and to call them gods. So they would take a tree and they would call it a god. So Rashi understands it just the opposite. But if you go by the explanation of Ibn Ezra and Sforno, so you can stick with the explanation I'm suggesting, that the Torah is telling you about human behavior and how it's passed on, you know, generation to generation. Because you see how the Torah lines up. People that had negative character came down from Cain, who acted out of his jealousy, and that his brother Abel, that his sacrifice was accepted, and Cain's sacrifice wasn't, so that's why he originally killed his brother. But that may have had long-lasting effects in terms of the future generations that came from him. So it's interesting, just in terms of looking at the verses, what's going on. Well, let me pause here and see if there's any questions or comments. Yeah, so let's see if there's any other. Yeah, and again, when it talks about chapter 5, and it says this is the generation of Adam, and it talks about that man was created in God's form, meaning these are people that follow the right path, follow an intelligent lifestyle, and followed God. So that's why it ended up that this generation produced Noah. Where it doesn't talk about it, and one of the commentaries says that. He makes a note to say, you see, that the Torah does not identify the lineage of Cain as in the form of God. Because they weren't in the form of God. They were just following what their wants were. Wealth and music, you know, pleasure and social issues and war and wanting power. But it is very interesting that those are the three areas that Lamech trained his sons in. The very three areas that people today are still pursuing, that they should have wealth, that they should have you know, pleasures, and they should have power.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I'm kind of digressing a little bit. Are we to assume that the reason why Adam separated himself for 130 years, was that because of grieving over the death of his son?
I'm not sure the reason, or if it was maybe he didn't want to bring another child in that was going to be hurt by Cain again. I'm not sure the reason. But it seems to be that that's why he listened to Lamech and his wives when they said, listen, you're saying that we should have children continually, so Adam, you should be doing this yourself. you separated. So if they're trying to give a lesson from themselves, the cases had to be similar. So it is perhaps because he didn't, he had the same concerns that Lamech's wives had.
And one other question, regarding Tubal Cain, are we to assume that he maliciously set up Lamech to kill Cain?
No. I don't think it was malicious. But there was a carelessness there. Because if you're 100% sure it's an animal that you're shooting at, it can't be a person. 100% means that you see it's an animal. If they were able to kill a person, that means they didn't have a clear vision as to what the object of their fire was. Let's see. Yes, Rashi says in 4:23, that his wife separated from him from having intercourse because he killed Cain and also Tubal Cain, his son. Because Lamech was blind, and Tubal Cain, Tubal Cain, Moshe Baroah is Cain. So Tubal Cain, I guess, helped his father draw back the bow. And he saw Cain, but he thought it was an animal of some sort. And he told his father, draw back the bow and shoot. And he killed. And since they then found out, they walked over to the body and they saw it was really Cain that they killed. So Lamech was frightened and he slapped his hands together like a sudden thing. And he caught his son between them and he must have shattered his head or something. And he killed him. And therefore his wife separated from him. Okay. So you see that the verses give you the clues, and you see how important it all is. It's not just, you know, these little stories. We really have to have the attitude that if it's written here in the Chumash, in the Torah, it's vital. And we have to stop and ask ourselves, what is this here for? And what are the clues? And you start slow. And this was like, I went over this with a friend this week, and we spent Monday and then Tuesday and Wednesday and just reviewing it over, and more started to emerge. All right, so that's what I wanted to present. Is there any other questions?
No, no.
No, okay. All right.
Very interesting, Rabbi. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so I guess we'll wrap it up here, and then we'll resume with the chapter 4 in Koheles this coming Sunday. All right, I think we started the first verse or so. We'll go over it again, and you'll take a look where he starts talking about, let me just open it right here. So he starts talking about, yeah, 4:4 is what we'll focus on, but you know, start from the beginning again, where he looks about the world and he sees that there's no comfort that people have from their oppressors, and what's the oppression he's talking about? All right, and what is this evil that he's talking? He says, where he talks about the jealousy of man, he goes into now. So that's what we'll pick up. And if you have a sworno, is good to have for this, or the Malbim, whatever English you can get in terms of the commentaries. All right?
Okay, Rabbi, can I ask you a quick other question?
Yeah, sure, go right ahead.
You got to visit someone who is in mourning. There is something that, as I understand it, that you say, I guess, at the end or as you are leaving.
Right.
Can you refresh my memory as to what that is?
Yeah, you say that God should comfort you amongst the rest of the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem.
May God comfort you.
May God comfort you amongst the rest of the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem.
May God comfort you amongst the rest of the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. All right, so we'll pick up next week.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, best of success and happiness in your new home, Doug Cal.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And a good day. Good day to everybody else.
Good day, everybody. Good day, yes.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Good luck, Doug and Cal.